Okay, Eugenio, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, so our speaker today is Eugenio Bianchi, who is going to speak about loop quantum gravity a la Aaron of Bond.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me to present here this work on loop quantum gravity a la Aaron of Bond. We can go to slide number 2, where I explain what is the aim of the talk. We know that in loop quantum gravity, the space of these invariant states emits an orthogonal decomposition into subspaces, which are labeled by diffeomorphism equivalence classes of spin network graphs. I call these subspaces K diff gamma. The procedure to obtain this Hilbert space is via loop quantization and then a group averaging of diffeomorphism. Now, as this procedure is so important in the construction of the theory, I think that it is good to investigate if we can obtain essentially the same theory, loop quantum gravity, starting from a different construction. And the aim of the talk is to show that the state space K diff gamma associated to a graph gamma, together with its interpretation in terms of quantum geometry, can be obtained via a standard quantum field theoretical quantization from the quantization of a theory of locally flat Ashtar-Barbero connections with magnetic defects. So the next page, page 3, this is the plan of the talk. I will provide motivation for looking at locally flat connections and explain what is the idea. Then the second part, this is a technical part, the core of the talk, where I introduce the framework. It is divided into 2 sections. First, I discuss diffeomorphism invariant states. Then I discuss how a scalar product can be introduced via QFT methods. Then there's a short third part where the construction becomes more explicit. I discuss a simple example. I will conclude with a fourth part where I discuss the relation with spin network states as used in canonical loop quantum gravity and in the current spin foam models. Can go to page 4, motivation. The point I want to make is that the Hilbert space K diff gamma, the one associated to spin network graph gamma, is the appropriate one for a system with a finite number of degrees of freedom. This remark comes from the mathematical structure of this Hilbert space and from its physical interpretation in terms of quantum geometry. Therefore, while the full theory has an infinite number of degrees of freedom, as classical general relativity does, each subspace captures only a finite number of them. So this statement is crucial for the following. So saying is that this state space is the appropriate one for a system with a finite number of degrees of freedom, and the question which provides motivation is there a classical system with a finite number of degrees of freedom such that when quantized leads directly to the state space K diff gamma, or equivalently, which degrees of freedom of general relativity are we capturing? Now, notice that spin foam quantization offers an answer to these questions. The classical system is obtained via discretization of general relativity, and then we quantize the discrete system. And the boundary state space consists of spin networks with abstract graphs, which is dual to the discretization. However, this description has its own drawbacks. Here we have a discretization and a graph which is not embedded, and these two facts make the role of diffeomorphisms rather obscure. That's why I look for a different system, a system defined on a manifold, so that diffeomorphisms act on local fields in the standard way, via pullback. The field theoretical system that I consider is described in next slide, slide 5, the Aaron-Ohm setting. So in the picture, there's a portion of a three-manifold, sigma, and a line L. I consider a configuration of a connection A such that its magnetic field B vanishes everywhere in the region sigma minus L. Despite the vanishing of B, we know that there are observable effects associated to the holonomy of the connection along non-contractible closed paths. Such effects depend only on the flux phi of the magnetic field enclosed by the path. In particular, the effect does not change if the path is deformed continuously. So the idea is that the space K diff gamma where gamma is a single loop now, is in fact the space of diff invariant states psi of A, where A is a locally flat configuration, is the locally flat configuration described above. Where I write psi of A equal eta, you see I'm getting two equivalent descriptions for the state here. One in terms of a function of the holonomy, and one in terms of a function of the flux. You see that the state is diff invariant, and the diffeomorphism moves the loop, but as the magnetic field is zero, the state remains invariant. And this fact is described by the function f of phi. The state depends on the connection only through its dependence on the flux of the magnetic field. So this is a theoretical system, because we need the connection in order to describe the system locally. But it has only one degree of freedom, the flux, the magnetic flux phi. So this is the idea. In the second part, I will show how to generalize it to spin networks with nodes and how to introduce a scalar product. Here, I want only to stress that these states are labeled by embedded loops, but are invariant under the deformations of the loop, because the magnetic field is zero. Similarly, in the Aronobaum effect for electrons, the effect depends only on the flux phi and not on the specific path gamma, as I recall in slide number 6. The picture is the schema for a double-slit experiment with electrons. It is taken from Feynman lecture. Notice that between the slits, there's a thin solenoid, a device which confines the magnetic field inside it. As a result, electrons never enter into the region where the magnetic field is different from zero. However, in a patintegral description, the paths 1 and 2 encircle the solenoid. The effect that Aronov and Bohm predicted actually 50 years ago is that, surprisingly, the interference pattern on the screen is shifted by a quantity X naught. It's shifted when the magnetic field in the solenoid is non-zero. Now, the shift does not depend on the specific path. Depends only on the flux phi of the enclosed magnetic field. Actually, it depends on its ratio with London's elementary flux. The proposed experiment was done in the same year, in 1955, and the predicted displacement was observed. And besides being conceptually important, today this phenomenon is part of current technology, mesoscopic physics. Okay, this concludes my introduction. So are there questions up to this point? Otherwise, we can go to the second part, slide 7, where I introduce the framework. I try to make more precise this idea. Okay, slide 7, manifold sigma prime and locally flat connections. What I do is to start with a trimanifold sigma, which is connected and without boundary, and consider a network D of curves embedded in sigma. And what I do is to regard D as a network of defects, introduce a new manifold sigma prime, which is defined as sigma minus D. And this new manifold sigma prime is path connected, but not simply connected. So an example, let's consider the composition into cells of the original manifold, a cellular decomposition, and focus on its one skeleton. So if we regard this one skeleton as a defect network, we have the closest paths around edges of the one skeleton are non-contractible. So we have a non-trivial first homotopy group. Point 2. So on this manifold, I introduce a locally flat connection, A. And we know that despite being locally flat, the connection can have a non-trivial holonomy around non-contractible loops in sigma prime. And this is, in fact, the mathematical origin of the Aronov-Bohm effect. Now, this is the important point. The space of locally flat connections, modulo gauge transformations, is finite dimensional. I call it moduli space, capital N, it is given by the homomorphisms from the pi 1 to the group, modulo the group. And I can choose coordinates on this modular space. I call them little mr, and are generally called moduli. In terms of moduli, a locally flat connection is labeled by moduli, mr, and by a gauge transformation. Okay, we can go to slide 8, the state space k prime and functions of moduli. So I'm interested in gravity. So I consider the kinematics of general relativity in Hartree-Barbero variables. The configuration variable here is an SU2 connection, A, on a three-manifold sigma. And in loop quantum gravity, the kinematical Hilbert space, K, is the space of functionals of the connection, which are invariant under SU2 gauge transformations and diffeomorphisms of the manifold sigma. Here I follow a similar procedure. The difference is that I focus on the manifold sigma prime, and I require that the connection is locally flat. This is what is called topological invariance. So I introduce a state space, K prime, which is a state space of gauge invariant functionals of a locally flat connection on sigma prime. Now, notice that this is a topological gauge theory. In a topological gauge theory, gauge and diff invariance are related. So once we have gauge invariance, diff invariance comes for free. As states in K prime are gauge invariant, they can depend on the connection only through its moduli. So a state can be characterized in this way that I call A, psi f of A. A state is labeled by a function on moduli space. So this is a characterization. Now we go to slide number 9, where I give a different characterization. States in terms of dual graphs and holonomies. So the question I want to ask is, can we introduce an embedded graph, gamma, in sigma prime, and write states as cylindrical functions, as we do in loop quantum gravity? This is the characterization that I'm calling B in red. So our state is labeled by an embedded graph and a function eta from L copies of SU2 to C. Okay, so notice that this description is redundant. So point one, notice that if we have a contractible loops in the graph, these evaluate to a number. So the description in terms of the graph is, in general, is redundant, and that's why I choose a minimal graph that I call gamma prime, which is embedded in sigma and is dual to the defect network. I explain what I mean by dual. So it has to have a property. It is point three. There's a property that the graph has to satisfy. Its edge path group, pi of gamma prime, has to be isomorphic to the pi 1 of sigma prime. In order to be more concrete, more explicit, I give a construction of the dual graph in a specific case. This is point four. I focus on a defect network which arises from cellular decomposition, as before. So the defect network is the one skeleton of a cellular decomposition. And then I consider an embedded graph, gamma prime, which is dual to the decomposition. It has nodes inside each cell and a link from a node to another when two cells are nearby. Okay. Now, I call this dual graph gamma prime. So in the following, states are labeled by gamma prime. And properties, point five, states are gauge invariant because the function eta is assumed to be invariant under conjugation of nodes. States are diffeomorphism invariant thanks to local flatness. So if I consider a diffeomorphism which is connected to the identity, it acts via pullback on the connection, and this actually moves the loop, gamma prime, but as the magnetic field is zero, the evaluation of the state is exactly the same, so the state is invariant. And third point, the state depends on gamma prime, but only via its nothing with the defect network. That's why I choose this dual graph, gamma prime. notice that this is point six. We can introduce spin network states here. Spin network states will graph gamma prime, as is generally done in quantum gravity. This is a useful tool now, but not more. This is just a class of states. We can go to slide number 10, where I summarize the two descriptions that are given. So there are, again, two equivalent characterizations of diff invariant states in K prime. The first that I called A in blue, in terms of a function f on moduli space. So it's a function of the moduli M1 and ML, and it's labeled by function x. And a second characterization in red in terms of a dual graph gamma prime and a cylindrical function. Now, the characterization of states B in terms of gamma prime and eta is slightly redundant, but leads to a picture which is definitely more clear than the one in terms of moduli. Yeah, but I want to stress that we can go from description B to description A via gauge fixing of the SU2 invariance at the nodes of the graph gamma prime. So the statement is that once we have chosen coordinates moduli on moduli space, the couple gamma prime eta determines a unique function f on moduli space. A choice of coordinates on moduli space can be given in this way. We can simply choose a maximal tree of the graph gamma prime and fix to the identity of the group elements associated to it. Okay, so this is my linear space of states. So this is an important part of the construction, so I want to ask if there are questions up to now. Okay. So if not, I go on. This is the linear space of states, but this is clearly only half of the story, because I want to build a Hilbert space. What I need is a scalar product. So we go to slide number 11. I discuss the scalar product. So so a scalar product is defined as here in the formula in blue. We have to introduce a functional measure, dA. Now, as states are diff invariant, we want the functional measure to be diff invariant too. Yeah, the states are functions of a locally flat connection, so we want that the measure is actually topologically invariant. Therefore, it can depend only on the moduli. So the statement is this functional measure has to reduce to an ordinary measure on moduli space. Maybe non-trivial, but it has to reduce to an ordinary measure on moduli space that I call d mu or moduli MR. So making sense of the formal functional measure amounts to just a choice of measure on moduli space. And the question, the problem is, do we have a principle? Is there a principle which can guide us in the choice of this measure? Okay, here, what I do is to use methods proper to quantum field theory to make sense of the functional integral over locally flat connections, modulo gauge transformation. Such methods, in the case of a finite dimensional moduli space, allow to fully determine a specific measure on the moduli space and answer our question. These are the methods that are used to determine the string measure, that are used in 2+1 gravity, when the spatial section has non-trivial topology, for instance, the torus, or if it has trivial topology but there are point particles. And it has been used also to determine the simplicial measure. Yeah, the guiding principle here is locality. So I'm choosing a measure on moduli space, and the requirement which fixes it is that the configurations we are integrating over are local fields, and I want a functional measure which is local in this field. So this is why it's a standard theoretical method. Now, I want to implement it, so let's go to slide number 12, scalar product via quantum field theoretical methods. So the integral over locally flat connections, in this integral we can change variables. We can go to moduli and gauge transformation. It's just a change of variables. And the integral over gauge transformation factorizes. So we are left with a finite dimensional integral over moduli with a non-trivial measure on moduli. So this is a geometric way to present it, Equivalently, I can use the more well-known Fadir-Popov procedure, where I start with a connection, which is labeled by moduli and gauge transformation, and I write it in terms of a gauge-fixed connection, A bar, which satisfies the gauge-fixing condition k equal to 0, and a gauge transformation G. And the measure on locally flat connections modulo gauge transformation can be written as, you see there's a delta FP, delta Fadir-Popov, which appears, which is the Fadir-Popov determinant for the gauge fixing condition k equal to 0. Now, point 3, integrating and changing variables, we end up with a finite dimensional integral, the integral of moduli. Here, the Jacobian, JOMR, the function JOMR is a Jacobian from gauge fixed connections to moduli. And delta Fadir-Popov of MR is simply the Fadir-Popov determinant, which is a functional of gauge fixed connections, and therefore it's actually an ordinary function of moduli. So point 4, this is my fixed theoretical proposal for the measure that now I call d nu QFT. States in the Hilbert space K prime are assumed to be normalizable in this scalar product, the formula in point 4. So I have space labeled by a function, so f and g. The scalar product of f with g is this integral over moduli over f conjugate times g. And then there's this non-trivial measure, which is the product of the Jacobian times the Fadir-Popov determinant. Now, when I discuss the one example in the third part, I'll give an explicit expression for this measure. I'm not saying that this measure is easy to compute, but the point is that it's well-defined. Okay, so we can go to slide 13, where I discuss a different choice of scalar product, which is, again, a choice of a measure of moduli space. And the different choice that I want to analyze is the one proper to quantum gravity. So point one, I use the characterization of states B in terms of dual graphs, and here there's a natural choice of measure. It's the R measure on links of the graph. They are formula in red. So the scalar product of eta with xi is just an integral of group elements on links. And notice that with this choice, symmetric states are not just states in K prime. Actually, they are on orthonormal basis. They are much more. They are on normal basis of K prime. Now, this is the important point. Point three. Notice that as these functions eta and xi are invariant under conjugation at nodes, we have that the R measure has flat directions. So it reduces to a measure on moduli space. Yeah, there's a way to compute the measure on moduli space is via a Bayer integration formula. So, again, this proposal provides a definition of the functional measure A by a prescription or a specific measure on moduli space. That now I call D mu loop. Correct. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I'll go on. So let's go to slide 14. So the point is that while the group theoretical choice of measure a la loop is certainly natural, the field theoretical choice is a well-motivated one. So the question is, what is the relationship between the two? Well, I've investigated these two proposals in a rather simple case, and the result provides an explicit. I found an explicit expression for the two measures, and the result supports the following conjecture. That the QFT measure on moduli space coincides with the one obtained from the product of our measures. So d mu QFT equals d mu loop. If such conjectures turns out to be robust, then spin network states with embedded graph gamma prime are not just a good tool for describing diff-invariant functions of the connection, but actually provide an orthonormal basis of the Hilbert space K prime, the one that I build out using standard theoretical construction. So So this concludes my second part, the framework. Are there questions? Okay, otherwise we can go to the third part, the example, slide number 15, where I discuss a simple example. So the example that I want to discuss is a single line defect. So the original manifold is a trivial topology, and then I consider a single line L, which is annotated in sigma, that I consider as a defect. So the manifold, the new manifold sigma prime, has non-trivial pi 1, which is generated by the homotopy class of loops which encircle once the line L. Point 2, so what I want to do is to introduce an SU2 locally flat connection on this manifold sigma prime. In order to identify a representative in each gauge orbit, I can introduce a gauge fixing condition. It has to break explicitly the local symmetries of the problem. So a convenient choice is to introduce an auxiliary metric and consider a Coulomb-like gauge. The gauge fixed connection is given in point 4, and it is labeled by three numbers that call phi I, capital phi I. I can compute its holonomy along a loop gamma. This is point 5. And this is given simply by this expression where the number n, the winding number of the loop around the line, appears. So the holonomy provides the homomorphism that I was looking for. Now I would like to give an interpretation, a physical interpretation of these numbers phi I. We can go to slide 16, where I give this interpretation and discuss what is the moduli space. So the connection is locally flat in sigma prime. Sigma prime is sigma minus the line which is shown. And the non-abelian magnetic field, therefore, vanishes everywhere except along the line. So it has support on the line. And it's written here in blue, point 1. And there's the three numbers phi which appear in the expression. So the line L can be thought as a thin solenoid. And if we compute the flux of the magnetic field through the surface which is in figure, the surface S, we find exactly these numbers, pi I. So interpretation is this is the flux of the magnetic field. And the Hausdorff theorem, it determines the holonomy of the connection around the bounding loop. Now, point 2, the magnetic flux pi I provides a parameterization of moduli space, or the moduli space of locally flat connections. And to find its range, we have to identify different magnetic fields which correspond to the same holonomy. So we find that phi I has to belong to S3. Now, third point, states. So states are functions of this flux, phi I. And thanks to the fact that we require gauge invariants, they can depend only on its modulus. So states in the Hilbert space K prime associated to this defect are labeled by a function of phi, and phi is our coordinate on moduli space, which is given by the interval 0 to pi. Let's go to slide 17. So I described states as functions of the flux. Now I want to discuss the scalar product between these states. The scalar product defined via the quantum field theoretical construction. So before I give the general expression for the measure, the mu QST, it's given by the product of J times delta Fadir Popov. And now I have to compute explicitly them. The Jacobian is easy to determine, simply phi squared. The Fadir Popov determinant is the determinant of this operator chi, the variation of the gauge fixing condition respect to a gauge parameter. And the determinant can be computed simply taking a regularized product, a regularization of the product of its eigenvalues. This is what I do here. And surprisingly, the result can be found explicitly. It's given here in blue. So delta Fadir Popov is a function of pi. It's an ordinary function. It's not a functional anymore now. It's an ordinary function of phi, which is given by the square of sine phi alpha divided by phi r. So we have determined the quantum field theoretical measure is given by the product of the two. The phi square cancels, and we end up with a sine square of phi r. Okay, so I've determined it, and now I want to test my proposal, my conjecture. So let's go to slide number 18. The first point is the scalar product via quantum field theoretical methods. You see the measure of sine square of phi. And now I want to compare it to the construction, the loop construction with the R measure. So the loop construction, as I explained before, we start with the description B of states in terms of holonomies. And states actually depend only on the homotopy class of the loop circling once the line. And they are labeled by a complex function eta. And due to gauge invariance, the gauge invariance at the base point, we require that eta is a class function. So the R measure, the one which appears in the formula in red, the R measure on SU2, the integral on the group element H gamma, actually reduces to an integral over the class angle for a group element of SU2. It is generally called phi. So now you see when you compare the two expressions, the one in blue and the one in red for the scalar product, that we get exactly the same measure. So this fact supports the conjecture. We get exactly the same sine square of phi, and moreover, we obtain a physical interpretation for this class angle as the modulus of the flux, the magnetic field, through the defect line. Okay, so this is the example. And then I'll move to the fourth part, which is more conceptual. So are there questions up to this point? Okay, let's go to slide 19. So given the construction, now I would like to discuss what is the relation of the Hilbert space that are built, the states that are studied, and the ones that are used in canonical loop quantum gravity and after on in spin forms. So I'll start recalling some basic facts. Point one, in ordinary loop quantum gravity, embedded spin networks are not if invariant. We have a huge non-separable Hilbert space. But then most states are identified when diffeomorphism invariance is imposed by a group averaging. So at the diffeomorphism level, so we have two levels here. At the diffeomorphism level, which is point two, we have abstract spin networks, which are sometimes called S-knots. And they depend only on the diffeomorphism equivalence class of the graph and on the SU2 labels. So point three, what is this diffeomorphism equivalence class? Well, the diffeomorphism equivalence class of the graph knows about the connectivity of the graph, but much more, it knows about its knotting with the non-trivial topology of the manifold, knows about its self-knotting, the self-knotting of the graph, and about the continuous parameters, the Gross-Rovelli moduli, which are related to tangents to the links at each node. This unless we enlarge the space of diffeomorphism, as considered by Feilbarn and Rovelli. So, now, on the other end, in the construction that I described, I focus directly on diffeomorphism states. And point five. What happens here? Thanks to local flatness, spin networks have embedded graphs, but nevertheless, the state they define is diffeomorphism invariant. So I go directly to the diffeomorphism invariant level, and I can do this thanks to local flatness. Moreover, there's no dependence on self-knotting, and there's no dependence on moduli at nodes. States depend only on the knotting of the graph with the manifold sigma prime. That is, on the knotting with the network of defects and with the topology of the original manifold sigma. So from this point of view, they are closer to the use that is made of spin networks as boundary states within the context of spin forms. So we can go to slide... Yes, yes.
This is Laurent. I don't understand what you're saying, that it doesn't depend on the self-noting. If you take a manifold, let's take the sphere, and let's take a graph which is just a circle, then pi 1 of, you know, the manifold minus the circle will depend on the noting. So if it's a simple knot, it will be one object. If it's a complicated knot, it will be...
Yes, yes.
So it does depend on the knotting.
Yes, let me explain. I see your point. So we have a manifold with a trivial topology, and then I'm subtracting this defect. Now, let's consider a defect which is the line which is unknotted. Okay? Now, I can study it by one, and I can describe states in terms of a loop. Okay? A different thing is if I start with a different defect which is knotted. So we know that the knot group is different. Here I'm speaking about the self-knotting, not of the defect, but of the graph of the spin network. The graph of the spin network here enters as a way to code diff invariant states. So states do not depend on the self-knotting of the label gamma, but I agree with you that if I start with defects which are knotted or defects which are not knotted, I obtain two different Hilbert spaces. This is the fact that the knot group depends on the knotting of the defect.
Okay, I understand. But then, in some sense, the spin network for a knotted defect will be different,
yes,
know, from the spin network for unknotted. So, okay.
Yes, right. So you see, the dual graph that I introduced, it has to have edge path group, which is isomorphic to the pi 1 of the manifold sigma prime. This pi 1, when I erase just a loop or a knot, is called the knot group. It depends on the knotting of the defect. So it means that I have a dual graph which is different depending on the knot of the defect. Okay. Are there other questions? Okay, now we can go to slide 20, where I discuss the relation with spin forms. So I want to stress that the construction that I discussed is purely kinematical. A natural tool for implementing its dynamics is provided by spin forms. So why I'm stressing this? Let's look at point two. So let's consider a network of defects which is given by the skeleton of a cellular decomposition of the manifold. Now we have the dual graph is just dual to the decomposition. So we have spin networks with graph dual to the decomposition. And there's a thing that I've not explained here, which is in progress and which is in the paper. It is point three. There's much more. There's a dual picture of quantum geometry. We can build geometric operators. Operators build out of the flux of the electric field through surfaces which end at defects. And these operators attach a geometric meaning to the cells of the decomposition. They give a quantum volume and area. So this picture is really close to spin forms. Moreover, I have another remark, point four. Yeah, there are no non-local links in the sense of Markopoulou and Smolin. Okay, so the structure that I obtain, I would say that it's really the same as the one which arises in spin form boundary space. Well, in a generalization, in a Lewandowski's generalization, I would say. So let me recall what is spin form quantization in a line. So we have that at the classical level, general relativity can be viewed as topological BF theory with constraints on the B field, and these constraints are local at the classical level. But then at quantum level, the constraints are imposed only on the two boundary of the first set of a simplicial complex. So we have building blocks which have a flat connection, and then there is a two-skeleton of defects where the constraints are imposed. And these two skeletons support curvature. So if I consider a foliation, this reproduces a theory of locally trapped connections with magnetic defects. So I would say that the construction is close to the boundary state space of spin forms and to deep invariant states of quantum gravity. While if I compare it to a state space of loop quantum gravity at non-deep invariant level, there's a huge difference. So in ordinary loop quantum gravity, Hashteker-Lewandowski configuration space consists of distributional polymeric connections. Okay. Then most of these degrees of freedom are washed away considering diffeomorphism. So on the other hand, here I'm working directly at the diff invariant level, and here the degrees of freedom are associated to quantum configurations, which consists of connections which are locally flat, but have a distributional polymeric magnetic field. So this is the picture which arises here in this construction, and I think it's also the picture which arises in spin forms. So this concludes my discussion. We can go to slide 21, conclusions. So I have considered a theory of locally flat Hashteker-Barbero connections with magnetic defects and quantized it via standard theoretical methods. The resulting state space, K prime, is surprisingly close to the one of ordinary loop quantum gravity. We have spin networks with embedded graph gamma prime, which provide the appropriate tool for describing gauge and deep invariant states. The construction leads to a physical interpretation of loops of the spin network graph as a way to capture a distributional magnetic field, analogously to what happens in the Aronoff-Bohm effect. I think that the interest in this construction lies in its relation with loop quantum gravity and with spin forms, and in the perspectives it may open. Thank you.
This is Laurent. In fact, maybe just a comment. It's surprisingly close. In fact, you can make a stronger statement. It's totally indistinguishable.
Yes,
so the usual LQG phase space or the one of flat connection on defects are just isomorphic objects. So you know, it's not like a description is... I mean, and if you have two objects which are isomorphic, totally isomorphic, you know their aspects, then they are the same object, in fact.
One point that I was stressing, but it's technical, is about moduli, so this is a technical difference. But then there's another difference which is huge. I focused on the Hilbert space associated to a graph. So this is a subspace of the quantum gravity Hilbert space.
Yeah, for each graph, then it is.
Yes.
Not the projective limit. I mean, then you can do the same thing as the projective limit. And
hopefully.
Yeah.
More questions?
I have a local question. This is Carlo from Marseille.
Go ahead.
The question, can you turn off the, yeah, the, no.
We can hear you well.
Okay, sorry. The question is, Eugenio, if there is a three-dimensional geometry interpretation of all that. So can we sort of understand that in terms of a sort of three-dimensional triangulation or not at all? Is that there's a classical theory behind that, right? There's a classical theory of flat connections on a manifold with defects. Can we relate this to a three-dimensional geometry distribution in some sense? Yeah, I guess that's the question.
Hi, this is Eugenio. So this is an important question, I think. So certainly here the picture is close to regio gravity. There in regio gravity we have a distributional curvature. Here we have a distributional magnetic field. So the first thing to look at is what is the magnetic field of Hashteker-Barbero connection. It is given by the curvature plus something else, which is related to the extrinsic curvature. So it's close to our picture, but it's not exactly the same. So this is from the point of view of the construction. Then there's the other point of view. I have 10 Hilbert space, I have 10 operators, and I want to look up what happens. What is the expectation value of these geometric operators? What are the dispersions? What I find is that while I can reproduce things which are standard in loop quantum gravity as the discreteness of area and of the volume, so for each cell I can really reobtain these standard things. And this new tool, which is coherent intertwiners, which really provide a picture of semi-classical geometry cell by cell. But then there's something new which doesn't, I think it is not present in regio gravity. It is, if you want to interpret this geometry in a purely intrinsic way, only in terms of the metric, you find that this cell do not glue in a metric sense. So this is a factor that you see in quantum gravity when you study geometric operators. And yeah, somehow there's an interpretation of what is the origin of this fact. So this is not a theory of locally flat metrics as in regio gravity. This is a theory of locally flat connections. So there's curvature, which is polymeric, singular, but is magnetic curvature.
More questions? Okay, let's thank you, Jenny, again.